Well, good morning. I want to tell you a story. And the opening line of the story is, husband wakes up and rolls over and kisses his wife on the cheek. And nothing really stirs in his heart. It's a story about Adam and Eve, the fictitious couple. And here's how Adam got to the point of just rolling over in bed and kissing his wife and nothing stirring in his heart. Adam met Eve. They were younger. Adam had dreams about what life was going to be like, and Eve had dreams about what life was going to be like. And you know, when you're young and kind of naive, and you live probably more in fantasy than you do in reality. Adam went to college, didn't do bad, didn't do great. Adam always had dreams of owning his own company and making it. That never happened, but Adam's a hard worker. Adam and Eve got married, and they moved into one of those starter homes. And boy, that's when things were fun. Eating ramen noodles on a cardboard table. Nothing really to do. Couldn't afford cable. Adam kept working. And then we got pregnant, and things changed. He worked more because of his fear of providing and doesn't want his kid to grow up eating ramen noodles around a card table. So Adam gets a new job, requires more of Adam. Adam's at home less. Just like that, 5 years passed. We got pregnant again. Two kids. Adam doesn't tell anybody, but the only thing that goes through Adam's mind all day long is providing now and in the future. Second kid was a girl, and Adam has no idea how he's going to pay for the wedding. Adam grew up comparing himself to his other brothers. Adam was never the son that he thought his dad wanted. Adam always compared himself to his other brothers, and there's a spot in Adam's heart where he still hasn't forgiven his dad, hasn't forgiven his childhood. He competes with his brothers, whether he knows it or not, but who's making more money or whatever. And every time Eve gets close to this place in Adam's heart, they have a fight. Adam pushes her away because he feels like she's siding with them. Just like that, now they're teenagers. And every time Adam sees in his son the same mistakes that were part of his own upbringing, and every time his son reaches out to his dad, Adam pushes his son away. See, Adam's got this place in his heart, this unresolved, and his wife gets close, he pushes her away. His son gets close, he pushes him away. He's got a good friend, and every blue moon, when they actually talk about something substantial on the golf course or in the boat, he pushes his buddy away. Adam comes to Mass, takes him about maybe to the responsorial psalm to actually get quiet. And the only thing that's popping up in Adam's head during the readings is, man, I got to work. Am I gonna still have my job with the economy? My son doesn't talk to me just like I didn't talk to my own dad. Do we have enough for retirement? Just fill in the blank. And Adam's tired. Adam got tired of fighting with his wife, and just get tired of her getting that close and pushing her away, and he got tired of arguing about the kids, and Adam is just tired. He's tired of her saying, "We never communicate." Adam's tired of, like, never living up to her expectations. Adam used to face his wife interiorly, but at some point he just turned away because he's tired. And he kind of fades away. And he says things like, it's not the same. We grew apart. And every day, Adam takes one step further away from his wife. And he's fading away. He comes to Mass at Christ Redeemer. And he sits down. And he's resigned himself. Well, this is what I got. I'm not getting a divorce. I don't want to do that to the kids. This is as good as life is going to get. Hey, I'm not the only one. I know lots of my buddies who are resigned. I got a boat. I look at a little porn. My wife doesn't know. Hey, man, I hope the Saints sign Drew Brees. And Adam is resigned that that's what life's about. And Adam woke up this morning and kissed his wife and didn't feel a thing. Adam and Eve. At this stage of the homily, two things are happening. You are begging me to go with the creed because it is awkward inside your heart. Or you are stunned with the silence in the church right now. How is it that a man wakes up next to his wife, kisses her on the cheek, and doesn't feel a thing? Well, let me tell you, it didn't start that morning. How is it that every year on Good Friday we kiss the cross? And don't feel a thing. Let me tell you another story about a parishioner. And the opening line of this story is, on Good Friday, a parishioner kissed the cross and didn't feel a thing. Same thing happened. Here's the story that we've been telling this Lent. Every one of us was made by Him. Now, whether you're tall or short, whether you're slim or not, whether you have blonde hair or red hair, whether you look sharp today with your clothes or whether you just woke up, it doesn't matter. Your body is an earthen vessel. Your soul is not of earth. And your soul, and we all got one, and none of ours are different in their nature. Every one of us has a soul, and our souls long for where we came from. And there's only one person who can quench the thirst in our soul. But when he gets close to places in our hearts, just like Eve and just like Adam's son, every one of us, if we're honest, pushes God away. That's the pattern. And here's the thing. We can push God away, but our souls don't stop thirsting. The only thing that can quench the thirst, I push him away. And this is what happens after a little while. You get tired. It takes a lot of energy in life to keep all those plates spinning. When I said that last week, you could have heard a pin drop in this church. You just get tired. And you just kind of fade away with God. And then you become resigned. The gospel today, you want to know what stunned me as soon as I opened it up? There's a blind man. He's sitting down. What's he asking for? Money. Because he ain't asking for healing anymore. See, you just get tired of asking for spiritual things. And at some point, when the spiritual things don't happen, you just stop asking. So the blind guy, check this out today, he is 6 inches away from God, and he asked him for money. Because he's resigned. Here's what resigned sounds like spiritually. Well, I'll go to church. I'm a good person. I mean, I got my sins. But everybody's got their sins. Here's the danger of resigned. You forget that you forgot. You see, when a husband forgets his wife's birthday and he's still in love, he says, "Ugh, I forgot the birthday." Because he forgot. But a resigned husband, he forgets that he even forgot. He's forgotten so much that just become a part of his life. And the blind guy, he forgot that he's been forgetting. And all he's going to do is ask for money all day long. Wakes up, I'm blind. Okay, same thing. Going to get on over there. Can you give me a dollar? Can you give me a nickel? Can you give me a dollar? Can you give me a nickel? Can you give me a dollar? Just begging all day long. All day. And when you're resigned spiritually, you begin to rationalize. I'm a good person. Everybody goes to heaven. I hope. Not real sure, but I'm banking on that. I really don't know him like I used to know him. But I ain't going there because I'm tired of being disappointed. I wish Father Mark would stop preaching about this kind of stuff. I liked it when we just talked about that everybody loves each other. I can go to a different church because the homilies are shorter. But then again, if you were dying, wouldn't you want somebody to tell you? If you were sick, wouldn't you want somebody to tell you? And if you were blind and the Savior of the world were 6 inches away from you, wouldn't you want somebody to say, don't ask him for a dollar? Wouldn't you want somebody to say, ask him for sight? Because if not, we'll come to Mass on Good Friday and we'll kiss the cross. And then, hey, what's for lunch? What do you want? It's this stage of your life. What do you want? What do you need? At this stage of your life, what do you need from God? Next week, we're going to talk about Lazarus. Why? Because if you're resigned, the only thing you have now is a world that helps you forget about the fact that you're resigned. The saints, that's the best you can do. Netflix, that's the best you can do. Your phone and all those apps, that's the best you can do. If you live resigned spiritually, whew, the best you have is sin. And the enemy can take a lure with a hook, wave it right in front of you, and you know it's going to hurt, and we'll bite anyway. Lazarus is on the inside the tomb. And we all look at the story from Jesus' perspective. Look at Lazarus. He's on the inside the tomb, stuck. He ain't getting out unless somebody else gets him out. Lazarus is bound, stuck in the tomb. He doesn't want anything. He needs God. Somebody's got to open up the thing. Lazarus is stuck. And Lazarus needs to be rescued from all the things that are binding him in death. But it starts for us to have the courage to look here and ask yourself right now, what do you need from God? And every once in a while, even in the resignation, Adam comes across a husband who loves his wife. And every once in a while in his resignation, Adam looks at a husband and says, man, I kind of remember what that was like. And sometimes other husbands kind of wake Adam up. And every once in a while, we as a community we meet somebody, we see somebody, and we see what's happening in their life, and we're like, I remember that. Like Chelsea, who's going through RCIA, wants to be baptized, wants to know the Lord, and we are proud of you, and we are grateful for everything that God's doing in your life. So, Chelsea, I'm going to ask that you stand for me now.